Listen and stream the all-new talk radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
We do have at this point in time an interview in studio. Joining us, President of the Scrap Iron Dealers Association, a gentleman who's no stranger to the national landscape. That's Mr. Alan Ferguson. Good morning to you and welcome to our program.
Good morning to you and good morning to your listeners.
Nice to have you with us here this morning. The scrap iron industry, we've been hearing so much, we've been hearing nothing at all about what's been going on. There are many who would have expected that the scrap iron industry would have been back up and running by now. And we know that, well, it's well documented what transpired and what led to the shutdown and everything else. What's going on at this point in time? Where is the industry in terms of reopening?
All right. Sometimes when I have to answer this question, sometimes a little hurt is coming to my heart because I like speaking the truth. I remember when this industry shut down and I take a look at what they wanted us to do. I told them that 90% of the people in the industry weren't able to open back up at all, because I don't think it was well thought out and well get good advice from people who have the knowledge about the industry. So as we speak now, last week about 3 yards open, and yesterday 3 more yards open. I'm out of 100-something yards that we had. We know that we had some yard was not licensed, but out of the 100-something yards, when the industry fully open back by now and next week or whenever, we only will have about 14 yards out of the 100-something opening. After I do all the check yesterday, I try to even add on to make sure that these yards will open and hope that they open, because big yards have shut down. We had about 4 to 5 yards in the Point 14 area. All of them yards will be able to open. We had about 2 to 3 yards in Pinal Debe. So far, none of them, I think, will be opening. We had about majority of the yards in Claxton Bay. I could tell you now, all I aware is about 1 yard in Claxton Bay will be opening back. I could be wrong if somebody changes their mind by tomorrow, whenever. When we look at Couva area, Point Lisas and all these area, we have 1 yard opening functioning at the moment. We go at Central. When you look at Central, we have about 3 yards open right now in Central, and Central have probably about 10 yards. We have about 3 yards open. And you could say Las Tomas, Arima, no yards. Port of Spain, no yards. All the rest of the place, we have 1 yard open in going to Rio Claro Way. Otherwise, that's it. We have 1 yard also, in Barapo, open. That's it.
But why? Because if maybe I'm mistaken, but the call all the while was to reopen the industry, because these businesses wanted to reopen. But now that they're almost there, why are they not reopening?
Well, you see, when you're going to put laws to deal with business people, if you don't want a system, you don't want something in place, you have to put something in place. So when you look at this industry, a lot of people who had their homes, had put their yard in front of their home, behind their home, because of how this industry is run. And when people know now that you cannot have a scrapyard in front of a home or behind of the home or at the side of the home, you know what you do to an industry like that, because people don't want to lose their home, you know. People don't want to be charged $500,000 for having a scrapyard in front of the place. When you understand that and you didn't put nothing in place to remove all these hundreds of people from getting back a business or strengthening back up this business, you could understand why some of them had to shut down. When you look at the system that you had to follow a container now, you know, a lot of people wouldn't want to go through all of this thing to do business. When you look at that, is something like, you know, that you want to put a system in place to make sure people ain't steal and all these other things again. But the system that you put is to really take people out of the business, because you could watch all business all over the world, and sometimes what will go on in Australia or probably England or some other places. Trinidad is not the kind of volume that you could watch as all these big countries that operate in recycling and scrap. And when you look at Trinidad now and you look what's going to take place in the industry, I can tell you, some people just going through the motion to go through it. I am telling you, as a president, it's only because I have my strong faith in my God I could understand, and I'm still here standing up. But when you think about what had take place with us in this industry for the last 7 months, you could understand that women and children and people who is poor people all over Trinidad who depend on this industry, you could understand what it did to them, I could understand that in every organization there's people who steal and go around doing wrong things, but there's hundreds and thousands of people in this industry operate in an honest way. And when you take away the livelihood for the last 7 months and you tell them, listen to me, open back up without any assistance, and you telling people to come back out without any assistance, you know what you're doing to some people? It totally interfering with them. Yesterday we went in a remind the dump road, and if you hear the anger of some people because of what take place, some people was not able to even send the train for school for the last 6-7 months, You could understand some people lose their home, You could understand some people lose their vehicles, You could understand how much people can send the children to school because of this industry, how they depend on this industry, And I, as the president and the person who in charge, I could tell you how I feel, My body sometimes, if I could tell you, I understand why some people, when you see all these things take place, they just want to do wrong, because it's only because of the strong faith in my Lord. And I understand my understanding in life is to continue doing the right thing and encouraging my people to do the right thing. But this is real heartache. Is a very experience that some people, because they not belong to this organization, and because they don't understand the way all the recycling is go. And when you check out this, and when you look at it, take a look at it, and you watch how much we doing to help Trinidad in the environment and help Trinidad by all these dumps and them. If we say we not going to remove all these steel and all these batteries from all these dumps from all these dumps, you know what happened? The whole place will fill up with all these material that interfere the water course. You could understand that, Satish? You could understand if we as scrap dealers say we're not doing nothing at all. If you go at the dump now and you see that material, scrap material, that people just pack up in the dump just to remove out, to move out now, you could understand how much we're doing for this country. And you could understand why they didn't want to just listen to me. And it's not that I, as a politician, I only trying to represent poor people in this industry, and people who sometimes, let me tell you something, people sometimes who don't even love me, some people who don't care about me, I had to represent them and let the government know people suffering because of what happened. And up to now, it's still like you know something happened, and when it has started to happen, I went out first, and I went and tell the government, if all you don't ban this copper for a little while, to let me sit down and straighten all this thing, it go get worse. And it did get worse.
Yes, but okay. What you're outlining to me is, it seems the opposite to what we were told would happen. Because we were told that when the industry was shut down, there'd be all these grants and these facilities available to help people in the industry cope. Did that not happen?
Let me tell you something. I am not a liar. If I lie, I will be in contact with majority of my members. And I can tell you, not one person probably would have got no public assistance, no hamper. If you watch on the media, you see, I would have been going out all to the different communities and giving out hampers where I would have got help, and I would have helped with myself to go out and give my members hampers. That is what they get. Nobody come out. Nobody. Not even self church people, not even self business people. When you look at this sector, when you look at it, it employs the lowest of the people, the lowest part of the stick in this country, the most of the poorest of the poorest people in this country, which can't get no work, no way, just come and help and feed the children and the family, send them to school out of this industry. And when you look what happened, not one person in this country would have put up the hand and helped me, you know. I sometimes wonder, that is why the crime in this country ain't changing, you know. Because if you take care of the poor people, you will know that crime will reduce. Because poor people, we have a thing that we just say, sufferers don't care what they do. When you have people suffering and can't have nothing for the family, can't take care of the children, can't pay the bills, you know, their back is against the wall. And when your back is against the wall, you know what could happen. And when you leave these things to happen for months and you don't take care of it, you know what could happen. And I keep telling them, it don't give me pleasure to tell them that the crime rate would go up, you know. It didn't give me pleasure, because if you watch majority of the people that doing the small crime and the petty crime and the robbery and the invasion and the killing is people who come in from the poor community. And when you leave these gangsters and these monsters to feed these people who need help, you know what they will do to please them. But if they're working and they're helping the family, you know they will stay away from crime. And I keep telling them that, because I from them, you know, I belong from Bush Pardes. So I understand them, and I was telling them that. Let me fix it. Let me don't ban it. Let me don't take it away from them. I told them all of this, and it don't give me no pleasure now to talk about it, you know. It has hurt me to talk about it. But what you know, what you could say, when young people can't have nothing to do, let me tell you something. When the Cameron chance done, it's thousands of children coming out of school and doing nothing, you know. And when they have nothing to do, what do you expect? But we as an industry and an association, when people come to get work, we don't want to know how much subject they have, you know. All we want to know, if they want to work, we want to help them. If somebody come out of jail and they want to make change, all we care is about if you want to make change, you know. We don't care what you look like or who is your race or what, you know. All we want to know is that you want to make change for you and your family. And that's all we was doing, you know. We know that when you have an opportunity for Trinidadians, that they see that they have something like TSCT wire to steal, they will have joined and make you feel that it's the people in the organization alone doing that. I went sit down this morning and say they didn't have nobody who belongs to this organization was doing wrong. I went say that, but the majority of the people that came and pulled along this TSCT wire have nothing else to do with this industry. Mm. And we had to face the rot for that.
Okay. We've been talking a lot about what has happened. And you've been telling us in great detail about some of the issues that confronted persons within the industry following the shutdown. And I can tell that you are still not in support of much of what has happened. And that is understandable. And I know persons who were involved in the industry, and they too have been hard hit. I spoke to a young man recently, just last week actually, and he was on the verge of losing his vehicle because he couldn't make the payment. So what you're saying, I understand fully. But let's look a bit now to the future. The legislation that has been introduced, it sounds to me like you're very much not in support of many of the elements of the legislation. And you've described some of the elements of the legislation as prohibitive in persons moving forward or even getting back into the business. Was it not a situation where there was consultation, or did the government of the day do what they want and then expect everybody to trump and follow suit with the regulations?
When you see questions asked, I like to ask it in the honest way. In Trinidad, they have a thing now. If you're drunk, they get a lawyer to investigate. If you want to straighten out the scrap industry, a lawyer has to straighten it out. Let me tell you something about the scrap industry. You have to belong to it. You have to understand it to bring laws to govern the people. And if you didn't want to take the advice from the people who have the knowledge, the people who people all over the world has come to and listen to, concern this in this industry. And you know what they do? They come and they mama. You know, sometimes I just want to say it because I want to work with them, you know. Honestly telling you, because I love the industry and I want to work with them, but they didn't listen to us, and I had to talk the truth. They didn't listen to us. When I told them something, they had no respect. You know why they had no respect? They had no respect for you sometimes, because I believe it's because how I look and how I sound. Because I didn't look like something like... I have to conduct myself in the right way, but sometimes when I'm in interview and I understand what they do. So let me say this to you. Some of the rules that they have, we're trying to work with it. We're trying to work with it. We're also trying to have a meeting with them that we could able to sit down with them to try to pull back people who coming out of the industry, that we could able to work with them. We know that it must have laws to govern industry. We understand that. But it mustn't be laws to mash it up. Because you could bring laws, you know, you could bring laws and mash up the industry instead of you fix it. So we understand all of that. But at this is now, if we do get with the government to work with them to able to pull back this industry, this industry did some damage, you know, it damage. And the few amount of people that have remained, because let me tell you something, you can't give police to come to watch containers full. These police and them, I have absolutely no problem with them, because I mean to say, but they don't understand. They don't know about scrap. They know about solving crime. They know about stopping people from going and do crime. They don't know about HMS-1, aluminum. They don't know about all the type of material. This is not something that you could just tell people, hey, go and watch a container full. That can't happen. It can't happen. And then when you look at how you pulling police officers, you taking police officers out of the system that it hardly have, because even they could them hardly have officers to operate, and you're going to take all these officers. If you listen to us, we have people here in Trinidad that could train people to understand about how to supervise containers when it's packing. We have people, but they just don't want to hear nothing from me. You know why? I am not a politician, you know, Mr. Prime Minister and politician. I'm not a politician. I am a person that just want the right thing for my country. I just want to do the right thing for my country. That is all I want. And I am not a person that will see wrong taking place. I went out, you know. I risked my life and I went out. And I tell people, stop the stealing and all this thing. And I still just do it. So it's not like I am the one that want me. I was not involved and no stealing and all them set of thing, you know. I wasn't involved in all of these things. But I had to pay all the penalty and spend all the money. I had to do that. So that's hurting.
Yes. Let's confront the main issue here now with the amended legislation and the regulations in place and the challenges that you are saying persons who are in the industry are facing. Do you think the scrap iron industry in this country will survive?
You really want me to honestly?
Yes, I honestly want you to tell me. Yes, I do.
That's how I feel now. If it has how it's going now, it will survive. Unless we come together to fix it back. It could never work with the system that it have now. I who is one of the persons that travel all over this industry, I am telling you today, and Trinidad and Tobago, if we and the government don't come to sit down to save this industry now, not that law that they have in place, not the law that they put in place, it will solely kill it. And it wouldn't encourage nobody to come in the industry. The industry have moved so fast that it have equipments and things to move fast, pulling containers. And when you want to put the kind of system you want to put to able to hold it back and think it back. Let me tell you something. When people want to do a contract and have to do a contract, There's a time limit to shipping. There's a time limit for the amount, you know. You have to do volumes to make money, you know, because sometimes the money in it is just a little bit of money it is make, but you have to do volume. And the scrap industry is about volume, because so much of people end up getting money out of this by from the lowest to right up on top. And I am saying is that the people who might survive, it just might be just a few yards. Just a few yards. If they continue, see all these van men that you're seeing all over Trinidad, I am telling you, only about 10% of them will be able to operate. So you know what's going to happen. It's going to cause a serious problem, because they still have more to come, you know, because they have laws to come to govern the collectors, which that is an issue. That's going to be a bigger issue than the scrapyards and them, you know. Because it have thousands of collectors. The scrapyards just have hundreds, but the collectors is thousands. And when you come with the law to govern the scrapyards, it's supposed to be in April this month. I am telling you, it's going to create a next big problem. If we feel that this problem done, the problem now start. Because when I watch it and I over it, don't matter how I sit down and say, I want to start to work with this law that it have now, every time I sit down, I get a headache. Because I know it cannot work, so it will look like it work. It looking like it could work. But when you check it out and you check how people are the full containers, when you full containers, so that you have to wait tomorrow for police to come for you to full containers. You know how the system work in Trinidad. When our officers have to come, sometimes they don't come. Look, people waiting for weeks now to get officers to come to full containers. How you could do contracts to send to countries over our way? We've lost all the contracts that we have. If they continue the way that they want to go for this industry. This industry is not like selling bread, you know. This industry is not pulling water in a tank, you know.
We need to take a couple of messages, and when we get back, we'll be opening our phone lines. 627-3223, 625-2257. We are speaking this morning with the resurgence and progression of the scrap iron industry, president of the Scrap Iron Dealers Association, Alan Ferguson. Stay with us.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Welcome back. Just about 7 minutes before 8 news at the top. With us this morning, president of the Scrap Iron Dealers Association, Alan Ferguson. Let's take a couple of your calls. 627-3223, 625-2257. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir. I remind you. And good morning, Mr. Fulvett. I had feeling your voice. I heard that. And I mean, you represent a lot of the workers in this country, the working class, which people consider a lower wrong. But nevertheless, a profession is a profession. And I feel that pain that you are feeling. And I don't know why they dally with this to regularize your organization. But one question before I go. I heard you said that there were nobody, politician, whosoever, behind your organization, and you get no help. But I was under the impression that there was a certain individual politician named Mr. Vasant Bharat who was championing your cause for the scrap iron dealers, just as he did with the pineapple farmers. Could you tell me if he's still championing your cause or he has deserted you? It's not clear. Thank you.
Well, he assists us, not with the shutdown, but he always supports us. But as I say, he is a person, I think he's working out of Trinidad, and we call on him. But as I say, for the shutdown, we didn't get the support from him at all. But we have absolutely no problem with him, because we understand that people do business outside, and you understand it. So we even have nothing on him at all, and we welcome his support anytime.
627-3223. 625-2257, discussing the scrap iron industry, the future of the scrap iron industry. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Satish.
Good morning to you.
And good morning to Mr. Ferguson. I just want to find out from Mr. Ferguson, in terms of the 6-month suspension, why dealers who weren't registered, why didn't they not utilize that opportunity to become registered? That's one. And two, under the, in terms of persons who are exporting, you are required to get a license. And of course, I see all them make those applications. They make it easy. It is online where you can. Do you find that it's a good thing that persons who are exporting metal out of Trinidad and Tobago, they are under registry now? And in terms of the, as my first question, in terms of the Metal Act, when you look at it, since inception, you're supposed to have been officers inspecting this. If you look at the legislation, the past legislation, what they have done now is certainly just enforce it. So when you say a police officer who will be there, they don't know about metal, they don't know about this, they don't know about that, they will be on site there with an inspector. A metal inspector will be there in terms of once the container is being loaded.
I would like you to just hold before you go now. I just want to explain something to you. In the last act, in the 1904 act, right, in what it said about a police officer, that a police officer could come into your yard at any time and watch or supervise your material to see if it have any stolen stuff. But this one, this act that they have, the Coley Act, that they, where the police officers, they could come in and search and do anything. But where I am talking about is a police officer coming to supervise you loading containers to export, which is, that was never in the act. So what they put in it is that something that they tell you that you have to have a police officer anytime you're loading containers, and you know what is going in Trinidad and Tobago in reference to these kind of things.
Yeah, but just to interject, don't you not find that as a good thing?
No, police officers don't have nothing to do with scrap industry. Police officers don't know nothing. Let me tell you something. Before I could understand this industry, take me years. It take plenty people years to understand. It can't take you 2-3 days. This industry is not an industry that you could, you're packing material, I mean, you're packing bread and shelf, you know. This thing have all type of thing going in a container, which you call all different type of material that you have to monitor and understand. And if you don't know that, you can't, if you're not a professional, you can't put a cap into to fly a plane. You can't put a cap into to who know nothing but driving to drive, they go get an accident.
So just to be clear here, you prefer the metal inspector who is licensed under the government to oversee this, as opposed to the police service?
Yes, but the thing about it is that it will, the police, let me tell you something. I have absolutely no problem with the police, you know. What I'm trying to tell is that the police are done already, packed up with a lot of problems. And if you, we had to wait on them to full containers. Let me say, we know that they go, I suppose it's glad they come in, because they may know nothing. What I am trying to tell you, it will slow down the process. That when we have to pack containers, it will slow down because they won't come. I'm telling you, they won't come. They don't have the workforce.
Okay, Satish, I will leave you. I know the news is coming up. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your call. I mean, I've seen how this thing operates, and when people bring their stuff to the scrap iron, it's weighed and it's immediately thrown into the container as it comes, and it's not a situation where they pack up everything and then they wait one day to pack. And it's tough, and I understand what you're saying.
And when it come back, when you come back after the news, I will explain to you why all small yards have to get out of the business and they weren't able to function in the business.
Yeah, definitely that and so much more. We'll be taking more of your calls after the 8 o'clock news right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. Our special guest this morning, President of the Scrap Iron Dealers Association, Alan Ferguson. We'll be taking more of your calls on the other side of 8. Stay with us.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
3 minutes after 8, into the final hour of our show here this morning. Continuing our discussion on the scrap iron industry and some of the challenges confronting the scrap iron industry, we know that rules, regulations have been put in place. With us this morning, President of the Association, Alan Ferguson. Taking more of your calls, if you'd like to join the discussion, on 627-3223 and 625-2257. Before we went to the break, you were saying that you'd explain to us why some of the smaller yards may not necessarily reopen again as we move forward. Why is that?
Because the law that governs the scrap industry now is that you have every single day you put out money. You have to wait 15 days to load a container. So let me say you spend money this week. You can't pull it, you can't pull the containers by weekend. And if you pull, and if you himself, you go next week and you continue buying next week, you still can't pull it next week. You have to wait until 15 days. Now, we understand that that was part of the law all the time. But I mean to say, we had put to them, we had told them, yeah, we use a 7-day period of time. Because we understand that it have poor people in the industry that work the full containers also too. All right? And when you put that expense where they can't go to the bank to get cash flow to buy the material to full, they had to close down because they weren't able to follow that law. And we had known that. And that is why we told them, let us even wait to 7 days, which is enough. This 15 days is for people who have plenty money. Because when you check 15 days that you have to wait and you send how many days, you have to buy material and you have to understand that a scrapyard is one that buy scrap material, copper, aluminum, brass, batteries, you name it. And I could name plenty more that have to be able to buy, have money to buy all these things. So I am saying that these laws that govern now, small yards cannot operate. I am telling you that.
But why? Well, let me be very careful when I ask this question. Eh? We've been told that there are organizations that are operating within the scrap iron industry. And these are large operations that have the capital, that have the wherewithal to withstand the financial challenges that you are suggesting. Do you think these measures were deliberately put in place to the demise of the smaller yards? Do you think somebody stands to benefit from the way the thing is? I'm asking you the question.
I always like to be honest. It will happen. I will tell you, a lot of people want to always be dominating at any industry that they get. So they know, some of the big ones, they know that it will destroy most of the small ones and they will benefit because they could handle it. They could afford it. I, as the president and the leader, can't accept it. No matter, I might be able to work out this hardship. I might be able to go through. Mm-hmm. I can't study myself. I have to study all the members. And I could tell you that the members, and I know it have a lot of people who love this industry, weren't able to open back out. You see the tears in their eye. You see what taking place. So I know. And that is why I was trying to tell them, meet a lot with us and let us go through certain things. And I do not think the Prime Minister was real informed about this industry, you know. I think there was a lot of holdback by he understanding it. Because I understand he loved people to work hard. And when this industry employ all these thousands of people, it put a ease on the treasury. But when you have thousands of poor people who can't get no work, no way, can't get to do nothing, nowhere else, it will put a strain on the treasury also on crime.
Let's see if we have another call. 627-3223, 625-2257. Hello, good morning.
Morning, Sardis. I just tuned into your program a few seconds ago. Is this the president of the Scrap Dealers Association?
Yes, that's the discussion.
I want to ask the so-called president, what gives him the right to ask the scrap dealers, the collectors, to pay him, his organization, a fee so that scrap dealers can pick up scrap? And one more thing. I've been to an election in your organization, and it is not a secret ballot. It is by a show of hands, where people are ashamed to go against you because fear of, how to put it, reprise. How do you respond to that? And to me, you should not be the president of the Scrap Metal Dealers Association, because to me, you don't know the laws of Trinidad and Tobago. You don't have any legal expertise. And would you make way for somebody who is more, how to put it, tune to the laws of this country? Thanks a lot.
Okay. Hearing you talking alone, I remember Christ, it had people who hate Christ, you know. It had people who hate people who came from God, you know. There's people who hate good people, you know. So I could understand your heat, but let me explain something to you, brother. I, as a man, just lead from in front. I just lead from in front, and I just put my money where my mouth is. I just struggle for this industry. Thousands of people have loved me who know that are fighting for the right thing in the industry. And when you talking about, I don't know, laws, let me explain to you. A prime minister, not a lawyer sometimes, a prime minister does get advice. So when you talking about, I had to know the laws of Trinidad and Tobago to be a president of a scrap industry. You, I could tell you that you probably have some cocoa in the sun that I can't help you with. I just lead from in front, brother. I just lead from in front. And then you talk about balance. Let me tell you something. I was belongs to plenty of organization. It have ways and means. When an organization tell you could put up your hand to vote, and you go with that, you could put up your hand to also to vote. In all organization, you could do it too. You don't have to go with balance. You don't have to go with secret. It's have organization because it's side of that. You have an intention. You have a motive. Yeah, you talk about motives and fear. You talking about fear? Boy, the kind of talk people just give me. If they just fear me, they ain't be doing that. I just a man just standing up for criticism. I just a man just standing up for criticism. Mm-hmm. I think you have it wrong. I think you yourself, you now come on the show, so you must be just in listen good. You don't understand that I just struggle for this industry so much and fight for the right thing.
Let's not harp too much. Let's move on. Let's look to the future, because the legislation is in place, the ability to get back into the industry is there, but obviously not where you and your association would want it to be. And we've spoken about the possibilities that this could be to the detriment of the industry. They could see the entire thing shutting down, definitely from what you've outlined to us. Just a handful of these yards are back and running and maybe back up and running. What needs to be done? If anything at all.
Well, one of the things is that I had put a transition team together, led by Sadiq Bash and lawyers and different type of people. So when a person could talk about, I don't know this and I don't know, here what I do as a leader, I put one of a person in this country who recognize that doing and working hard, a man like Sadiq Bash, and we have lawyers, we have environmental to work with the government, a transition team to bring me from where, from nothing to something. I had put this together. I take this organization and put it worldwide. And let me explain. I need to say this. In Europe, all these large countries in the world, when you see the most favorite magazine in the world and you see what they say about me, you could understand, they know that I understand about the recycling. When I went to Singapore in 2019, if you don't know and all you want to know, the Singapore people, because of the contribution from Trinidad and Tobago in that recycling, where each and everybody had represented from each and every country in the world, they had us as the people to be, they had to us to vote us as the leader of this region here in recycling, if you don't know. I have one of the person who, if you don't know, come out with one of the largest program for my members, which is to cut ship, which will employ thousands of people. And I have to talk about what I have to do, what I will be doing for my industry.
Yeah.
When I am talking about this industry, what happened here in the last 6 months, you know what I put a team to do, Satish? I put a team to have a credit union, which is really the scrap credit union, that members, when these kind of things, I hope they'll happen again, that they could go to get loans for the house or the van, that people wouldn't be able to. We will have an understanding of the members. So I understand this thing, and I have people advising me in all different ways. So when he talking, because he don't know, and I must go back to him. Because sometimes people put these people to do these things because they don't have a clue of what's taking place in the industry.
What are some of the immediate things, as we wrap up, because we're almost out of time, moving forward? Mm-hmm. What are some of the immediate issues that your association intends to look into?
Well, one of the things that we need to do, as I said, I recognize that some of the laws that they have to govern the industry, whilst we want to follow the laws, we will want to work with the government to try to get things in such a way that we could work with the laws in such a way that they will make changes, because they promise us that we will sit down with them, we will sit down also and work with them to make change.
Mm-hmm.
They also tell us that. So one of the things that we would like to make changes is some of the laws that they have in reference to for us to follow. And we know that it cannot work. And I will say this again, what will work in Australia might not work in Trinidad. And we need to understand that. So we would like to work with the government plenty. We have to work to bring back this industry. The industry have been damaged because of greedy people who want to take this industry and export things that they're supposed to export. And I don't want to hit some of them. I just want to let people know is that I understand much about the industry, and I will want us to work with the government plenty. That is why I wanted for the industry.
And that's right.
Because I don't have all the solution for the problem, and I am saying that we will sit down with the government and work to straighten out the industry.
I think that's where we're going to have to leave. That's a positive note. It's concerning some of the things that you've said this morning about the future of the industry. I know people who are involved. And the scrap iron industry has assumed, for maybe justifiable reasons, a sinister connotation. People think that there is a lot of crime. We saw the instances that led to the government shutting it down, and many people are on the fence as to what they think should happen to the industry. But there are people whose livelihoods depend on it, and it's a large number of people. It's not just 5-10 people. It's a significant amount, and we do hope that, well, one way or the other, there could be an amicable resolution to some of these things. Mr. Ferguson, thank you so much for being with us here this morning and speaking to us on some of the matters that confront you and your organization and your membership. And I'm sure that as things move along and we continue to monitor what's happening, we'll have to speak to you again. Thank you once again for being with us.
And I also, it's my pleasure to be here this morning with you. And as I move on, I understand that you will always get criticism no matter how hard you work.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.